Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle A.
Sure. A whole town destroyed, people slaughtered, and you say, "Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ." There's something awry with this gospel. So it's going to take some explaining. You know, we all received invitations, some eagerly, some with resignation, and others, well, we simply ignored. Today's gospel paints a surprisingly unrealistic response. Some ignored this invitation and went away. Well, that's real. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burnt their city. What's going on? Now, if we had read Luke's version, there is no violence, there is no destruction. But Matthew intentionally added it to wrestle with a horrifying event, the destruction of the temple. They had to wrestle with that. He wrote 15 years after the Romans captured Jerusalem, literally carpeted its streets with bodies, burned its temples, and destroyed its walls. The Romans knew how to deal with terrorism. Utter, absolute slaughter. And it ended the revolt. And Judaism changed forever. And Jewish Christians began to become a real target. See, at the outset, Jewish Christians refused to join the revolt. They rejected the use of violence. They knew you can't force God to bring a new world by using the old world's tools of violence and war. So they simply left Jerusalem and earned the animosity of some. Matthew's Jewish Christian community, a Jewish observant community, keeping all 613 laws, offered a different model for the world's brokenness. They did the unthinkable in their world. They admitted Gentiles into their number. They created a community of mercy for Jew and Gentile, for good and for bad. And across the centuries, they are asking us still, are we creating communities of mercy? Matthew explained Jerusalem's destruction by appealing to the traditional Jewish explanation for the Babylonian exile when the first temple was destroyed. They said people had pulled themselves away from God and therefore pulled themselves away from his protective care. They played actually a dangerous game of power politics and lost big time. The Zealots did the same in 65 AD. You know, too often we forget that actions bring their own consequences. You can't blame this on God. Or have you forgotten how Jesus wept over Jerusalem, who would not learn the ways of peace? We did it to ourselves. Choosing the ways of violence brings only more death. This is not what God wanted. He wanted a party, a creation-wide block party. Isaiah gave the invitation in his day. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples a feast of rich foods and choice wines, juicy rich foods and pure choice wines. Sounds great. God's project is joy and new life, and all our fears and tears to be wiped away. On this mountain he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples, the web that is woven over all nations. He will destroy death forever, and the Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. There is one glitch. You got to accept the invitation if you're going to go to the party. Jesus anticipated that party when he ate with tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners, offering them God's embrace. At the Last Supper, Jesus offered himself to those who would abandon him. He gave himself as food of life and wine of joy. He gives himself still from this table. All these meals are signs that sins are forgiven and divine life shared. Now, our parable began with the words, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son." God wants a wedding feast, and you're invited. Yet we dither and delay and say, "Later, I'm busy." Excuse after excuse easily and eventually can become a self-defining no. Say yes instead. Yet God continues to invite bad and good alike. Say yes. And our yes begins when we open our hearts in prayer, when we receive God's gifts thankfully and share them joyfully. It begins when we treasure our family and our friends, and yes, old fellow classmates. When we celebrate God's gift and presence, and especially his presence in the Eucharist we hold. Sometimes we can be cavalier about all those gifts. The people in our lives, the wondrous moments, the sacraments. So what's missing? Well, one of my favorite writers said it best. Rabbi Abraham Heschel wrote, "Among the many things that religious tradition holds in store for us is a legacy of wonder. The surest way to suppress our ability to understand the meaning of God and the importance of worship is to take things for granted. Indifference to the sublime wonder of living is the root of sin. The beginning of our happiness lies in the understanding that life without wonder is not worth living. The way to faith leads through acts of wonder and radical amazement. Awareness of the divine begins with wonder." You hold that invitation in your hand at every Eucharist. Jesus Christ, whole and entire, humanity and divinity. Can you not see him? Holding the Lord should be a cause of most radical amazement. You're invited to the wedding. It's your wedding. It's your wedding with God in the body and the blood you received in living with his life. But you say, wait a minute. How about that poor slob without the wedding garment? How can you blame a traveler for not having the proper robe? And you're right, you can't blame him. But you can blame him for not putting on the wedding garment offered him. Don't you see, the host supplied the wedding garment. It was there all along. God offers it still. The question is simple. will you wear the wedding garments of wonder and appreciation? They're love's yes to love's gift. Will you put on Christ? It all begins with wonderment at God's incredible love for you.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.